Father, why the gold vestments? Why white on the altar? And certainly most pressing of all, why are we not able to follow along in the readings in our missalettes in the pew? And why are the antiphons different? Well, this is one of the perks of having a pastor, because it properly belongs to him to move wonderful celebrations of the parish, such as happened on Thursday, the 71st anniversary of the dedication of this church. 71 years ago, this church was dedicated, and he moved it for us this Sunday. That way, all of us get to participate in this wonderful, special solemnity of the parish. A beautiful day, a beautiful gift, a beautiful joy. Also a joy to us is to have our seminarian Luke Meyerhoff back. He was studying Spanish, perhaps in Cancun or somewhere wonderful this summer. No, as much as he would like that to have been the case, he was in Guatemala studying Spanish. So if any of you are native Spanish speakers, please talk to him and give him some much needed practice for priestly service in the diocese. But it's wonderful to have him back here with us. I remember as a seminarian at that age and perhaps before, I always looked forward to one thing on a special occasion, the occasion of a priest's first Mass. And right before that moment, there's a special moment at the end of that first Mass that anyone who's been to it never will forget. And if anyone goes for the first time, it's very, very impactful. At the ordination ceremony of a priest, a few things happen. Firstly, the bishop lays his hands over the head of the priest, just as the priest does, calling down the Holy Spirit at Mass upon the gifts of offering. But after that, sacred chrism, scented, fragrant, blessed oil is poured upon the hands of the priest. Why? Not because the priest's hands in and of themselves or by their own right are anything spectacular. No, it's because placed upon them, placed in them and placed through them is this call of the Holy Spirit, this job of the Holy Spirit. And more than that, a gift, the most precious gift of all, the gift of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, which the priest calls down from heaven, which the priest holds high in his hands, not of his own initiative, but by the initiative of Christ himself. That's why his hands are blessed with this fragrant oil. Because in the confessional in the back of church, Father makes the sign of the cross as he says, I absolve you from your sins. Those hands which have been imbued by Christ with the power to forgive sins. What a fragrant power indeed. And depending upon the bishop, the amount of oil changes. And Bishop Kimmy is quite fond of oil, as is the Holy Spirit. It's seemingly how appropriate, because that is the priest's job, to pour the oil of the Holy Spirit upon everything that he comes into contact with. But after this mess of oil is smeared upon his hands, he takes a cloth, or rather a cloth is brought to him. And he puts this cloth between his hands, soaked in oil, and he smears it on this cloth really well. And he takes that cloth for the duration of the Mass and places it in his cincture. And it's a custom at the end of a priest's first Mass that he comes down after the prayer, after communion. He comes down and thanks a few people. And who is more appropriate to thank than a priest's own mother? And the pious legend is that the mother is buried with this cloth, which still bears the fragrance of the oil from his ordination. And she goes before the gates of heaven, and Peter, who asks her, what have you done for Christ? What have you done for the sake of his name? And she hands him that cloth and says, I have given you my son. I have given you my son. Now, she's not the only person, of course, that deserves thanks and gratitude. For the father of the priest is given something as well. And he's given the stole that a priest wears whenever he performs a priestly function. The stole that he used for his first confessions, he gives to the Father who taught him mercy, who taught him justice, who taught him love, and who taught him tenderness. Right living, righteousness in a particular way. And he gives that to the Father. But how marvelous that something seemingly so natural motherhood and fatherhood can be used as an instrument to communicate something so beautiful. That these natural things are used as a messenger, something that communicates divine love. This occasion that we celebrate today perhaps is not so different. So do not let your eyes be deceived. For these stones which do something naturally, keeping out the rain and the wind, they are communicators of something infinitely beautiful. These stones are not just where we seek for God. Inside these walls are not just where we look for Him. My brothers and sisters, inside of these walls, upon these stones, we drink from these streams of living water. We encounter God substantially inside of these stones. So how appropriate that they are smeared with this same sacred chrism. And you can look for yourselves and see where those spots are on the wall. It's marked. And how appropriate. For these stones proclaim something boldly. That my name is Emmanuel and I am with you until the end of the age. That's what these stones cry out. And they ooze forth grace and mercy for us. They ooze forth His Eucharistic love here upon these stones. They ooze forth mercy here upon those stones. They ooze forth the waters of baptism there upon those stones. So how right it is to celebrate these wonderful, wonderful stones. And if that isn't enough just for us, my brothers and sisters, these stones cry out to all of the world, to all who are passing by upon Douglas, to all who are walking through this wonderful neighborhood. They proclaim, God is here. I am here. So we do well to remember this on this holy day. But these two occasions aren't the only instance where this sacred chrism is used. A priest ordination upon his hands, the walls of the church upon the dedication by the bishop, it's placed upon every single one of our heads at that moment in the back of the church. And that very same shape that the bishop traces upon the hands of the priest, that the bishop traces upon these stones right here, the cross of Jesus Christ is poured forth with a fragrant oil marked on the head of an infant. To signify what? Perhaps that there's a connection between all of these moments. That we are called to make of ourselves, or rather to allow ourselves to be made into a temple sacred to the Lord. And there is a real unity here by the power of God. It is no accident that we are here together. It is evidence of the power and presence of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. That is what draws us here together today. And throughout all of these 71 years here in this particular church, a real gift of God that draws us together, that this is a real undoing of the effects of sin, us sitting here together worshiping Him. That is a remedy to our sinfulness. That is a blossoming of grace. And so we're called to allow this cross that has been traced upon our head to be the defining objective of our life. That we come here into this temple under these stones and offer ourselves in the gift of Jesus Christ, offered upon these stones, that we become living stones. That go to the stones of the grocery store, that go to the stones of the theater, that walk upon the stones of the street and cast them in a different hue because of the light, the grace that oozes forth from us because of God's indwelling within us. That is to say, because of God's gracious gift and love. So today, let us celebrate well the fact, the light that pours forth through these very stones, which we are privileged to be gathered around. And allow these stones to point us very clearly and directly to Christ, the living stone, the cornerstone and the capstone of all, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. May he burn himself into us, these living waters which well up from himself, his own temple, and be a source of profound peace and joy for us together today here upon these stones.